Amen. What a great song. In Christ alone. Amen. I like what Paul said. He said, you are complete in Him. Hallelujah. You're complete in Him. It's all about Christ. Praise the Lord. Great song. Good to see everyone again. Good to have our visitors. Good to have Ben and Melissa here with us. And Sister Arvi is here. And amen. Just good to have everyone in the service. Praise the Lord. At this point, we're planning on having service tonight. We've only got 1 week till our special Christmas celebration Sunday. And next Sunday, we'll begin the morning service just with Christian worship. Christmas worship. It helps if it's Christian too. Christmas worship. And then we'll have an all-church dinner. Everyone's invited. And that night, we have our Sunday school programs and a drama that folks have been working hard on. You want to invite your family and friends. Be here next Sunday night. Sister Margaret, help me with the title. It's slipping my mind right now. The Wonder of Christmas or the Miracle of Christmas. It's Christian too. Amen. This week, Tuesday, morning's prayer meeting. Tuesday evening is the ladies get together. And I want to say that Bill Norvell's class and my class, we had a wonderful time of fellowship last night. Fellowship is good. Amen. Wednesday night, church. And then on Friday is a youth outing at 4:45. Praise the Lord. Get everything, anyone? All right. But if you turn in your Bibles with me this morning to the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 7. Hallelujah. The Lord is at work in the service today. He's worthy to be praised and worshiped. If somehow we could just set everything aside and just focus our attention on the eternal God. Eternal God. Amen. Something will happen spiritually in our hearts. It'll make a difference for our having been here. Praise the Lord. If you'd stand, we'll read the text this morning. Begin reading at verse 10, though the text is going to be verse 14. Moreover, the Lord spake again unto Ahaz, saying, ask thee a sign of the Lord thy God. Ask it either in the depth or in the height above. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord. Trying to appear spiritual, but he was anything but. Verse 13, and he said, hear you now, O house of David. Is it a small thing for you to weary men? But will you weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. In other words, if you won't ask for one, the Lord's going to give you one anyway. The Lord himself shall give you a sign. Here it is. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Though it be of great interest, I'm not going to bother much with what was going on in the history of Israel at this point. I think you know already the significance of why we're here in this passage. It's because this is a tremendous prophecy of God becoming flesh and our Savior's entrance into the world. And so verse 14, I want us to focus on, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Every part of that verse is full of meaning and is important to our salvation. Every bit of it. I believe the virgin birth miraculously foretold, as we just read, and miraculously occurring, it not only has great significance to our salvation, it has great significance to our everyday living. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, shut up our minds to eternal truth. May we feel the weight of the Spirit in our soul, giving significance to this season and to this passage of Scripture. Lord, you know every need in the house, every spiritual condition of every heart. And I pray by the working of the divine Spirit, the eternal Spirit, that you'd accomplish eternal things in the service this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to preach this morning on the virgin birth. Larry King of CNN, I guess you know he's on his way out. He was used to interviewing folks, but one time someone was interviewing him and they knew he was a great interviewer. And they said to Larry King, if you could ask anyone, if you could have an interview with anyone from history, anyone of your pick, from as far back in history as you want to go, who would you choose? If it were possible, who would you choose to interview? And Larry King, without hesitation, said, I would love to interview Jesus Christ. And the interviewer said to Larry King, and if you could interview Jesus Christ, what would you want to ask him? And Larry King said, the first thing I would want to ask him was he really virgin born? Jesus Christ, were you really born of a virgin? And then I quote, Larry King said, the answer to that question would define history for me. Well, I want to answer the question. Jesus was virgin born. Hallelujah. And if you want your interview, Larry King, just ask your questions of this book right here. Jesus Christ was virgin born. It would perhaps be a little more technically correct and accurate to say Jesus was virgin conceived. He was virgin conceived. A virgin is a person that has never had physical relations. An unmarried person who has never had physical relations. Or in the words of the virgin herself, Mary, I know not a man. I know not a man. One of the first truths to be discarded when people begin to de-supernaturalize the Bible, try to get rid of the miracles, de-supernaturalize serving God and the salvation experience. One of the first truths that people discard when they no longer want to believe that God involves himself in the world, when God personally gets involved, when folks never get to the point they don't want to anymore believe there's anything spiritual and beyond the natural in the Bible, one of the first truths they will always discard, they'll always abandon, is the truth of the virgin birth. When they want to get rid of the supernatural of this thing, of church and serving God and of Bible and of a salvation experience, they get rid of the virgin birth. Let me put it in a more simple way. Amen. When Christians want to become liberal in their theology, they quickly ditch the belief in the virgin birth. You might be amazed of how many preachers and churches no longer believe in the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. Recently, the University of California at Berkeley did a thorough research, and here's what they found. Protestant seminaries, that's where Protestant preachers, Baptists and Methodists and Pentecostals and Lutherans, Protestant seminaries, when they interviewed the students there, 56% of the students studying for the ministry in seminaries no longer believed. In fact, they rejected the belief in the virgin birth. We're talking about people that will be filling our pulpits and preaching. 56% of Protestant seminarians no longer believe in the virgin birth. Amen. 69% of American Baptists believe in the virgin birth. 66% of Lutherans. 57% of United Presbyterians. 39% of Episcopalians. 34% of Methodists. If you don't think a group can go liberal and come to this point, I want to remind you that our Pentecostal roots go straight back to Methodism. Amen. Our roots are from the Methodist Church, and today only 34% of Methodists believe in the virgin birth. Only 21% of Congregationalists believe in the virgin birth. Well, you know, I believe in the virgin birth, and to me, too much hangs upon it. Amen. If Jesus was not conceived of a virgin, then he was not God in the flesh. He was just another man. And if he were just another man, there was nothing special about his death. He was just another man that lived and died. But I believe in the virgin birth. Jesus was God in the flesh. And when he died, it wasn't just another man that died. It was the Son of God that died. It wasn't just a human's blood that was spilled and soaked into the ground. It was the blood of the God-man. And that blood exists today. And it traces all the way back to the virgin birth. Amen. If Jesus was not conceived of a virgin, then there was nothing special about his words. In fact, if he was not virgin conceived, his words were lies, because he claimed to be the Son of God. He claimed that God was his Father. And if he was not virgin born, then his words were lie. He claimed to be the great I Am. Amen. The Jehovah. And if he was not born of a virgin, his words were lies. I saw recently a sermon for Christmas, and I'm going to quote what the preacher says. He was reading one of these passages, and he says the passage tells us how Jesus was born by the action of the Holy Spirit. It tells us of what we call the virgin birth. This is a doctrine which presents us with many difficulties. This is a preacher talking to his people. This presents us with many difficulties. And our church does not compel us to accept it in the literal and the physical sense. This is one of the doctrines on which the church says that we have full liberty to come to our own conclusion. At the moment, we are concerned only to find out what this means for us. We don't need to believe it. Our church says we don't need to believe it. It's got a lot of difficulties. I read that. I said, huh? Number one, where's the difficulty? Where's the problem? It wasn't what a preacher said. It wasn't what a seminarian teacher said. It's what God said. God said, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a child. I don't see where the difficulty is. The Bible tells us it happened. All we need to do is believe it. Hallelujah. Amen. If you're not going to believe in the virgin birth, then why believe anything the Bible says? If the virgin birth isn't literal, is the cross literal? Is the tomb literal? Is the resurrection literal? I think we ought to just take the Bible for what it says. Hallelujah. Oh, they sneak it in. This is what you call postmodernism, and you may not be interested in that, but that preacher concluded and said, we're not concerned whether it's literal or physical. We're only concerned to find out what it means for us. That's where we're at in our world. Nothing's really true. Nothing's really absolute. Just what does it mean to you? How do you feel when you hear it? I'm telling you, that's not enough. That's not enough. You can believe a lie and be damned just because you feel it meant something to you. I'm telling you, it starts right here. It did happen in history, point, time, and space. Literally, physically, Jesus was born of a virgin. And that may not mean anything to you, but it means everything to the salvation of mankind. Hallelujah. Are you glad he was born of a virgin? Hallelujah. Amen. Pull out the cornerstone of the virgin conception of Christ, and the whole building of the gospel will come tumbling down, crumbling down. The message of Christmas, the wonder in the message, is that a virgin conceived and bore a son. And without that, there would be no salvation. Take away the virgin conception of Jesus, and everything else of the gospel will go out with it. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. What does this mean, both to salvation and to us today? First of all, it means God knows and controls the future. God knows and controls the future. The scripture says, as I read, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. I want you to notice this promise, this sign is a prophecy. These words were spoken by the prophet Isaiah 700 years before they came to pass. Amen. This book of Isaiah, this prophet Isaiah, 700 years the sign was given before it came to pass. But it did come to pass. Amen. It's a prophecy. Jesus fulfilled over 360 prophecies of Scripture with his coming. The virgin birth just didn't accidentally happen. It was foretold to happen. It was prophesied to happen. It was planned to happen. It was predetermined to happen. It was preordained to happen. It was prearranged to happen. And God told people, God told mankind 700 years before it took place, God said, it's going to happen. Hallelujah. I'm just telling you, God knows the future. He didn't just tell it was going to happen. He arranged for it to happen. God knows and controls the future. Things look unsettled. Things look out of control. But God's been in control all along. You may not know what's going to happen in 2011. But God knows everything that's going to happen on every day of every month of 2011, 2012, and until Jesus comes and beyond. Aren't you glad you know a God that knows and controls the future? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Those to whom the birth of Jesus happened. Amen. Mary and Joseph and all of those in the story there. Even those believing contemporaries that witnessed that. The shepherds and the wise men and Anna and Simeon. Everybody that interviewed those that had witnessed Christ's birth. They realized that what they were witnessing in the birth of Jesus was the very exact fulfillment of Isaiah 7 and 14. Joseph realized that Mary, the shepherds, those in the temple that believed, when they looked on the baby Jesus in the arms of his mother Mary, they knew that a prophecy had been fulfilled. And I want you to know, every prophecy of the book is going to be fulfilled. Amen. Matthew chapter 1. Just read a few verses. Not going to preach long, but a few verses. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, before they had relations, she was found with the child of the Holy Ghost. Joseph was not the father of Jesus in the biological sense. They can make movies about it. They can write books about it, but it doesn't change the book. She was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Verse 19, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. Verse 20, but while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thy son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife. Listen, for that which is conceived in her, that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Verse 21, and she shall bring forth a son. Oh, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Verse 22, note this. Amen. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, I just read, the prophet Isaiah, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is being interpreted, God with us. They recognized, Brother Brock, that the prophecy was being fulfilled before their very eyes. Oh, hallelujah. How could it happen?
God knew it was going to happen. God arranged it to happen. And so I want to tell you this morning, whatever your circumstances, God knows your future. And God is in control of your future. And if you'll trust Him, He'll make His word come to pass in your life. You can trust Him with the saving of your soul. You can trust Him with what's coming, because He knows and controls the future. Amen. He sent Jesus to be your Savior. And you can trust Him with that. Secondly, what does this mean to us? It means that God does the impossible. Behold, a virgin shall conceive. The fulfillment of the promise took a miracle. Biologically, scientifically, commonsensically, virgins do not conceive. An unmarried girl, not involved in physical relations, does not conceive a child. Professing themselves to be wise, they become fools. One of the explanations today is, well, maybe Jesus was born of a virgin, but in nature it is known that females can spontaneously, without a male, conceive. And they point to examples, and this is true. Some female sharks can conceive on their own. Some Komodo dragons. First of all, I don't like putting a human, and then I don't like them putting Christ in the same category with sharks and Komodo dragons and insects. But there are examples in nature of animals spontaneously, a female spontaneously conceiving without a male. Well, maybe there is something to it. Maybe Mary just spontaneously conceived without Christ having a father. Well, there's only one problem. Brother Bill, are you in here, Brother Bill? There you are. You'll confirm what I'm going to say. The problem is Jesus was a male. You say, well, what's the problem? Well, every female has two chromosomes. You didn't know you were going to get a science lesson, but it'll be quick here, okay? Just brace yourself. Every female has two chromosomes that determines her gender, and they're both X. Every male has two chromosomes, one's X and one's a Y. And to be a male, you have to have that Y chromosome. But a female does not carry a Y chromosome. And so if a female were to spontaneously conceive of herself, the offspring would of necessity have to be female, because she does not have a Y chromosome for there to be a male. The Y chromosome is provided by the Father. So professing themselves to be wise, well, Mary just spontaneously conceived. It's an impossibility in many ways, but it's an impossibility because Jesus was not female. And a female shark, Komodo dragon, if they spontaneously conceive, their offspring is always female because there's no Y chromosome. Hallelujah. We're through with the science lesson. But I want to tell you, Jesus was conceived of a virgin. It cannot be explained by science. It was a miracle of God. Hallelujah. It was a miracle of God. Amen. To deny that Jesus was virgin conceived leaves only one explanation. If you want to persist, Jesus was not virgin conceived, it has only one explanation, and they already tried that in the scripture. You may know what it is already, and that would be that Jesus was conceived in fornication. In John 8, it says, Jesus was talking to them. He says, ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, oh, they were being arrogant. They were trying to get in a low blow. They said, we be not born of fornication. Jesus said, I'm the Son of God. Amen. Somehow the villagers knew that Joseph was not the father of Jesus. And so they came up with the explanation that Jesus was born of fornication. Amen. That's not how it was. Jesus was not born of fornication. The Gospel of Luke says, Mary said unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto unto her, here's how it's going to happen. The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Amen. In other words, Mary was a virgin, but what was conceived in her was conceived by the miracle of the moving of the Holy Spirit within her body. Hallelujah. And the result of that was Jesus, the Son of God. I just want to tell you once again, it took a miracle, but a miracle did happen. Jesus was born and conceived of a virgin. In fact, I believe the scriptures I just read are some of the strongest arguments against abortion. Because when did Jesus, the Son of God, become Jesus in the womb of his mother Mary? When did it happen? The scripture said it happened when the Holy Spirit came upon Mary. That's when the Son of God entered into the womb of the Virgin Mary. A strong argument against abortion, because the life of Jesus was conceived or began at the moment of conception of the Holy Spirit in the womb of Mary. One of the strongest arguments that life begins at conception is that God became flesh at the moment of conception. Hallelujah. I'm just saying it took a miracle, but the miracle happened. If God did the impossible of the birthing of his son in the womb of a virgin, God can do what seems to be impossible and birth Christ in your heart. Birth Christ in the heart of the hardened sinner. Birth Christ in the heart of the wicked and the sinful. I mean, if he could cause Christ to be born in the womb of Mary, he can cause Christ to be birthed in the heart of any sinner that will come and confess and call out to him. He'll do the miracle of salvation. Hallelujah. And then what does this mean to us? It means that God is a father. You shall bear a son. Every son demands a father. To say that Jesus was born of a virgin, conceived of a virgin, does not mean that he did not have a father. It just means he did not have a earthly father, but he had a father. He had a father. Conception cannot just take place with just a female. Something has to be supplied by another. If Jesus were not virgin conceived, he could not be God in the flesh. But being God in the flesh, he had a father, and his father was God. His father was God. Amen. Luke 1:35, and the angel answered and said unto her, read this to you a moment ago, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee, and the holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. I know that Joseph took up the responsibility of his adopted son, Jesus. I know Joseph was a father in every way, I'm sure, in protection and provision. But though Jesus did not have a biological earthly father, he had a father. He knew it. You can read throughout John, he recognized he had a special relationship with God. He said, it was my father that sent me. I am come from my father. Hallelujah. I want you to know, you may be like Christ. How's that? You may not have an earthly father. Well, you may have an earthly father that has abandoned you. But I want you to know, just like Christ, you too can have a father. You can have a heavenly father. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Through and through, God is a father. Through and through, God is a father. To some, the father is simply a data field to fill out on a birth certificate of who partnered in the procreation of a child. That's all father means, is who was the partner in procreation. To others, the father has become synonymous with an abuser or a molester or a deadbeat or an abandoner. And that may be true in your case, but if it is, you can still have a father. Oh, he said, I'll be a fatherless, a father to the fatherless. I'll be a husband to the husbandless. Amen. I'm glad God is a father. Hallelujah. God being the father does not imply procreation in the sense of man. It's more than that. A father is one who protects and provides and guides. And if you need that, God will be that father to you. In fact, Jesus encouraged us. He knew he had a special relationship. He kept saying, my father, my father, my father. But then he looked at man and he said, when you pray, pray our father. In other words, Jesus was saying, I've got a special relationship. You're not virgin conceived as I was of the father, but you too can enter into a relationship and you can call my father. You can call him my father yourself. Hallelujah. Our father which art in heaven. Oh, aren't you glad for a heavenly father that ought to mean something to us this morning? Then what does this mean? It means God makes the first move. The Lord himself shall give you a sign. This promise is all about God taking the initiative. And I told you I wanted to go into history, but just briefly, Ahaz was being attacked, and the king of Judah was being attacked by Israel. A pact, a confederacy of the northern tribes of Israel and of Syria. And so Ahaz and the Jews of Judea were about to be destroyed. God sent the prophet Isaiah to say that God still had a plan. He wasn't going to abandon his people Israel, but this time he was going to give them victory over the northern kingdom of Israel and the Syrians. And so God sent Isaiah to say to Ahaz, ask me of a sign to prove to you I'm going to bring deliverance to Judea. But what happened here, Isaiah refused to ask a sign. He tried to act spiritual. He said, oh, I'm not going to tempt God. He wasn't being spiritual in his refusal. He was refusing because he was refusing the sign of God because he was refusing God. It'll happen every time when folks want to refuse God. They'll refuse his word. They'll refuse his sign. They'll refuse his presence. They'll refuse the word that comes to them from the preacher, a brother or sister. They'll refuse the sign because they're refusing the God. You see, Ahaz had already did something the kings of Judah were forbidden to do. He had made an under the table deal with another nation, Assyria. And so he's saying, I don't need help from God. I'm not going to ask a sign. I've already got something in the works of my own doing. I've already made an alliance that's going to rescue me. He didn't want a sign from God because Ahaz had already made a decision to worship the gods of the idols of the nations round about him. He didn't want to serve Jehovah. If he got a sign from Jehovah, if he took the word of Jehovah, he'd be obligated to serve him. He didn't want to serve God Jehovah. He wanted to hold to his idol gods, and he refused to ask for a sign. And God said, look, whatever your reasons, and I know what they are, whatever your reasons, you're refusing a sign. You refuse to take the initiative and even ask me for a sign. But you can refuse. But I'm going to give you a sign anyway. I'm telling you, God is a God of mercy. A person can be rejecting his spirit, and yet God will still move upon them with his spirit. A person can say, I don't want God or anything to do with God. And God in his mercy will still send a word. He'll still send. Why, our God is a God that takes initiative. Amen. When you're not seeking him, he's still seeking you. Hallelujah. When you're not moving towards him, he's moving towards you. When you're not asking for him, he's asking for you. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad we have a God that takes the initiative? Before any person in this place ever sought God, God was already in the process of seeking them. Yes, amen. Praise the name of the Lord. God makes the first move. God planned it. He prophesied. He performed it. And last of all, the significance of this promise to us, both in history and today, is God will always be with us. God will always be with us. You shall call his name Emmanuel. Hallelujah. You know, here's another fact that Jesus didn't have an earthly father, because he says of the virgin, she shall call his name Emmanuel. A virgin shall conceive and she shall call his name Emmanuel. In that culture, it was the prerogative and the privilege of the father to name the child. Joseph didn't name the child because it wasn't his. And the fact that Mary on earth was naming the child was a sign that there was no physical father in the picture. But in fact, it really wasn't Mary naming the child. She was just relaying what the Father of Christ had already said his name was going to be. Emmanuel. Emmanuel. Hallelujah. Emmanuel. That name refers both to his mission and his nature. Emmanuel is his nature, God with us, because the Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. God became human. God took on him the flesh. So Emmanuel refers to the very nature of Jesus. He was God in the flesh. God tabernacled among men. Oh, Jesus is special. Jesus is special. Hallelujah. Many want to say, well, this group believes in Jesus. The Muslim believes in Jesus. The Hindu believes in Jesus. The Mormons believe in Jesus. The Jehovah's Witnesses believe in Jesus. But they don't believe in the Jesus we believe in. Because the Jesus we believe in isn't just a man. He's not even just an angel. He's not just a prophet. He is God in the flesh. His name is Emmanuel, God. That's his nature. Hallelujah. Can you get your mind wrapped around all of it? No, you can't. But you can believe it. And just believing it, there's a power to this salvation. But it wasn't just his nature. Emmanuel also refers to his mission. When we could not go to where he was, he, God, came to us. And Jesus said, if you see the demons cast out and folks healed, you know that the finger of God is amongst you. Hallelujah. I thought that was Jesus' finger, yeah, but it was God's finger. His mission was to be God amongst us. And I won't get into this morning, but he's still God amongst us through the power of the Holy Spirit. We can say this morning, Emmanuel, because God has been in our midst. Jesus said, he that keepeth my words, he loveth me. And he that loveth me, my Father will love him. And we will come unto him and make our abode with him. And the whole context is, Jesus said, I will send you another comforter. The Spirit is the way that God dwells amongst people today. And if you have felt his Spirit in this house this morning, you can say, Emmanuel, God. Oh, hallelujah. Let's just stop worshiping. Go ahead, music. Let's just worship him. Hallelujah. Just go ahead and say it from your own lips. Emmanuel. Emmanuel. God is with us. And I want to tell you this morning, I don't know what your needs might be. I don't know what you may be going through in your life, but if you're a believer, however difficult it is right now, you can lift your heart and hands and say, oh, Emmanuel, God is with me. Why? Because he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Whatever you're walking through right now, Emmanuel, God is with me. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. What a thing to rejoice in. I know I just shared just a few Sundays back, but for one of his school projects, Andrew had to go looking for butterflies and different stuff. And he found a big old caterpillar out in the garden. And I guess things have grown dim if I ever knew it. He put it in a jar and said, Dad, When will that become a butterfly? And I said, well, probably getting towards spring. So he set it in there on the kitchen table. Oh, it was a wonder to watch that old ugly caterpillar spin that cocoon around him, that pupa around him. Andrew would put a stick in there so he'd be able to do that. That was a wonder in itself. Oh, but it wasn't too long, not many days after that. You know how your wife does, well, come here, you know, like the house is on fire. I jump up, Andrew's still at school, right in there, and there was a monarch butterfly. I know the science of that. I looked in that jar and I marveled at the miracle of God. I was thinking to myself, Sister Norvell, the brainiest scientist of the world could stand before me and quote and recite all their scientific reasons for evolution until they passed away for lack of breath. And I would just look in that jar and say, you got it wrong. There's a God. I mean, how did that beautiful butterfly come out of that old ugly caterpillar? I mean, there's not even any resemblance. There's no family resemblance between the butterfly and the caterpillar. It's a miracle of God. And far beyond that is the miracle that the Creator, amen, that God was manifest, born in the flesh. But I want to tell you, right alongside of that is the miracle when God conceives Christ in the heart of someone that has been sinful and rebellious and ruined their life. There's nothing there but darkness and hate and bitterness and sin and confusion. Oh, lostness. And God, by His miracle, will breathe and conceive Christ, and that heart and that life is changed, because there's the life of Christ in that heart. There's a new creation. The caterpillar has become the butterfly because God has birthed Christ in their heart. No wonder Paul, even as he was writing, he said, great is the mystery of godliness, Christ in you, the hope of glory. How did Christ get there? God conceived him in the heart of the sinner. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. You can say, I could never be a child of God. Oh, yes, you can. Because the Father can conceive Jesus and the life of Christ in your heart. Would you stand? Let's just praise Him. Oh, hallelujah. Let's just rejoice. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, make it real all over the house. Holy Spirit, make it real all over the house. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Come on, let's praise Him, church. It's real. It's real. Jesus was virgin conceived. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, hallelujah. 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 Well, glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. This may seem strange, but thinking about the virgin conception of Christ and the miracle that God performed, I want us to give God a clap offering all over the building. What a thing that He's done. I tell you what I'd love to see this morning. Someone without Christ that would come and call out to God. You say it'd take a miracle. That's exactly what God will do. God will work the miracle. He'll conceive the life of Christ in your lifeless heart. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. 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 I want you right now, if you're here and you need Jesus, would you come right now? Would you come to this altar and say, I want God to do the miracle of birthing Christ in my heart. Are you here? Hallelujah. He'll work the miracle. It's not in you. It's what He'll put in you. Hallelujah. He's seeking you right now. He's calling out your name right now. Would you come and let God conceive the life of His Son in your heart and life? Hallelujah. I'm leaving that open right now. But you're here this morning, you say, I might not even be able to share it with anyone, but I'm really going through it. I just need to know one more time that He's Emmanuel, God with us in my life. Does anyone like to come right now and say, I just need to know that afresh and anew, that He is Emmanuel, God in my life. Are you here? You'd like to come anywhere in the building. Hallelujah. Emmanuel, He's God in my life. Hallelujah. All right, I want to invite the church to come. Let's just come and rejoice the thing that God has done. Would you come? Call Him Savior. Call Him Son of God. Hallelujah. Virgin conceived, virgin born. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.